Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 7 to 17. God's case against Judah. Now you'll remember that these are only brief thoughts. Far more detailed study is required. A passage like this, Jeremiah 5, 7 to 17, demands far more work than I'm going to put in now. Just brief thoughts. Let us see what God is saying here. God's case against Judah. Remember, Judah has gone into idolatry. It has copied Israel in the north. Israel has long gone into captivity, into exile in Assyria. And Judah is copying her sister. And God says the case is worse against Judah, for she has seen the judgment upon Israel and still persists in this wickedness. She's gone into idolatry. She's gone into paganism. And God has sent the prophets, Jeremiah here, Isaiah and so on, and others. But the people would not listen. And God makes his case now. How and why he is going to bring judgment upon them. What a question to open, verse 7. Why should I forgive you? Why? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not gods. I supplied all their needs, yet they committed adultery and thronged the houses of prostitutes. They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for another man's wife. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Let me pause there. Notice the questions. Questions are always a very powerful way of teaching, especially, well, only when they're probing questions, not these silly questions that men ask today when they're preaching, just to get reassurance. No, these are probing. Why should I forgive you? Should I not punish them for this? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Why? Because of their paganism, because of their idolatry, because they've gone to gods that are not gods. The gods of the nations around, Chemosh, Baal, Ashtoreth, and all these other gods, that they've gone after these false deities, and they're copying them and bringing them into the temple, and of course sexual sin, adultery, spiritual adultery, and actual physical adultery and prostitution. They are well-fed, lusty stallions. Does that remind you of anything? Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. Moses taught Israel the song, warning them that when they got to the promised land, they would be well fed, they would grow fat, they would wax fat, they would become sleek, and they would forsake the Lord God. And this is exactly what they're doing. They are well fed, lusty stallions, and they're lusting after other gods and after these sexual sins. This is what God had warned them of. Moses had warned them. The prophets had spoken. God has his case against them. Go through her vineyards and ravage them, he says. But he was showing mercy even in his judgment. But do not destroy them completely. Strip off her branches, for these people do not belong to the Lord. Oh, they have the name that they belong to the Lord. They are Judah. After all, the nation of Judah. But these people do not belong to me anymore, says God. The house of Israel and the house of Judah, verse 11, have been utterly unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. They have lied about the Lord. They have dismissed God. They have rejected him. They said, he'll do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine. Prosperity is ours. Success is ours. The prophets are but wind. These prophets tell us these miserable, wretched things who speak against our sins. They're just wind. The word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them, dismissing them. People like Isaiah, people like Jeremiah. The false prophets, though, oh, they're loved. The false teachers who encourage them in their sin, they're the ones they love. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth, Jeremiah, This is what God will do with Jeremiah. This is how God will use Jeremiah. I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes. I am going to use you, Jeremiah. You may think you're a voice whistling into the wind, crying out against the storm, but I will use you. And these people will be the wood, you will be the fire, your words will be the fire. O house of Israel, this is Judah, of course, declares the Lord, I am bringing a distant nation against you, an ancient and enduring nation, a people whose language you do not know, whose speech you do not understand. Their quivers are like an open grave, all of them are mighty warriors, and they'll devour you, rob you, pillage you, and take away all your prosperity. And with the sword they will destroy the fortified cities in which you trust. All your hopes will vanish and collapse. It'll be a bulging wall, a tottering fence. There'll be nothing left you. All will collapse. Your hopes are vain. You hoped that Egypt would help you. You hoped this would do the trick. You thought that would be the way. No, no, says God. You have forsaken me. Your confidence is false. I warn you. I bring in judgment upon you. Shall we leave it there? That's the history of Judah. That's how Judah went. There was this man, Jeremiah, preaching these words, a young man, preaching these words in those days. He was dismissed, rejected, despised, denied. They laughed at him. God won't see, God doesn't care. We're getting on just fine, Jeremiah. Just go and go away. We don't want any more of it. But God used that man. Though he and the few others who were with him seemed to be lone voices, desperate voices, seemingly out of tune, well, really out of tune with the current flow. Nevertheless, the word of the Lord was with Jeremiah and men like Isaiah. And God did bring this judgment upon them. Shall we leave it there? Is God not speaking to us today? Does God not see the paganism in the so-called churches of Christ? Is it not more like a funfair in many places today? More like an entertainment hall, a business house, a corporate business? Is it not more like a shopping mall, fast food outlet, a sports arena? Is it not a laugh a minute? Is it not fun all the way? Does God not care about this? Is there a vain confidence about today? Are there men raising their voices, being dismissed, but crying out against it? What is God doing about all this? Well, I'm no prophet, of course, so what can I say? I'm just simply trying to expound the word of God, Jeremiah 5:7-17. But I do say this, as I read today's circumstances, in the West, at least, in the UK where I speak, and I believe in the States as well, as I see it, these words are highly relevant to us, most significant, vital words. And I again raise my feeble voice. I speak against myself, and I challenge myself, and I challenge the churches, I challenge the elders, I challenge the writers, the leaders, the teachers of the churches, who are bringing in all these worldly methods and encouraging the people in this paganism. You may not go in every aspect of this Jeremiah's complaint here, the complaint that God makes through Jeremiah. You may not have committed every aspect of these sins. But have you not brought paganism into the churches of Christ? Do you not have a false confidence and a vain confidence in these schemes and methods and plans you have? Beware, judgment is on the road. And though it be but a feeble voice, I will raise it now. May God open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to return to him before it is too late. May it never be said to us, why should I forgive you? Strip her branches. This people do not belong to the Lord. May God in wrath remember mercy, but may he give us the grace of repentance and reformation that we may return to the Lord our God before it is too late. May God bless this little discourse. May he bless this passage of Scripture. It cannot return to him void. May it accomplish the purpose to which he sends it. and may good come from it, now and long into the future. May God bless this word to the glory of his name. Amen.